There's so much TV news, I'm not even sure where we're going to start. Maybe, maybe, just maybe, I'm relieved to hear that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will have on a hiatus because there's a chance I might catch up. We're going to talk about that, Daredevil, Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, Black Widow, and we're going to do a little character corner once again. So stay tuned because Marvel TV Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, that's right. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. And our character corner is going to finally give me an excuse. Michael's just judging me, shaming me with his eyes. But I think it finally gives me an excuse to talk about Kitty Pryde. And there's a reason why, because she's in the news right now. Thus the song. That what did you say about the song choices, Michael? That they're just so random and
they're just kind of
they're connected. They're very tenuous,
very loosely connected.
Yeah, it's very tenuously
You've
connected to the universe.
Really invested in like,
and only I am. But in any case, there's so much to talk about. So welcome to the show, and Anthony in the booth, at Tony B Dead D E D. If you could bring up the chat so we can see which of our friends are chatting with us, that would be great. I'm Christian Bly, at Christian DMZ, and returned from the frozen tundra of Utah.
Yes.
The one and only Carrie Lane.
Hey, how's it going? You guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And if you want to know how Sundance was, watch Star Trek Weekly from last night because I asked you there.
We talked about it, and go to the Popcorn Talks Facebook page. I have a bunch of interviews with people from Sundance and Slamdance.
And Michael Shirley. Where do people find Michael Shirley?
You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram.
Just like the Gifted. Nice. X.
Yes.
Exactly. And at the other end of the desk.
Hello.
Amy, where do people find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
And so this is our first opportunity that we have. We have the whole panel all together. Yay! The squad, as it were. So yes. Very exciting to have everybody here. And in true eighth grade dance fashion, we did boy, girl, boy, girl. So, it makes me more comfortable that way. Okay. In all honesty.
We should have like a name for our, like if we had like an X team or something.
Ooh, leave comment down below. Yep. What should our team be
like
called?
Like the X Buzzers or yes. something.
That's right. Okay. By the way, Star Drew right out of the box, black lipstick. Hey, Carrie.
Hey.
All right.
It's more like a dark brown, but I'll
and
take it.
What I said, I think, yesterday about Star Drew is that he watches so many after shows, I don't know how he finds the time
there
to watch
some
the actual.
That
oh,
I
said that last week,
you.
Right,
yeah.
Amy?
People who are watching. Yeah. There are some people that I'm like, wow, you guys
are dedicated.
You are on it. It's impressive.
We appreciate you.
Yes. And ZSB Lou mentioned something in the chat that we will get to. I'm going to say Zias.
Okay, Zias. Is it Zias or Zias? Is he right or am I right? Because you've been on other shows.
B for Zias.
Is it or is it Dr. Zaius? Because then that would make perfect sense. Anyway, there's so much to talk about. If we keep up the shenanigans, we're never going to get to our characters. So we're going to start that Marvel Entertainment president Dan Buckley has hinted now that there'll be no new shows added to the Netflix slate of Marvel shows because they're really going to focus on the Disney streaming service. And this is kind of better than something we talked about a couple months ago, which is the idea that the shows that are on Netflix are going to disappear and move over to there. I think that they've got four shows, five if you count the Defenders. So, I think it's all right. There were a few other things that they were supposedly developing for Netflix, like Moon Knight. And I know most people don't want Moon Knight, but I'm interested.
Was Cloak and Dagger Hulu?
Cloak and Dagger is going to be Freeform.
So okay.
That's going to be on regular TV, so you don't have to worry about that. But I'll start with you, Carrie. Are you disappointed to hear that, or is it just practically it just makes sense that they're not going to help out Netflix?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. It'll be on some platform, and even if it's on their own, it'll be eventually probably be available that we can all get it, even if we don't have their Disney app or whatever.
Michael, like me, you're disappointed that we're not getting Moon Knight in 2019?
You and the Moon Knight. I don't get it.
What you got against Moon Knight?
Nothing. I don't have anything.
You don't have anything in favor of him.
No,
either.
Not really. No, that's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that they were going to, there could be a couple more seasons in some of these shows.
I didn't think they were going to yank shows off or move them anywhere, but I didn't think they were going to keep any
But the real question is, how many seasons are they going to do of these shows? You know, if
well, yeah. people get tired of them. I mean, they've got The Gifted on Fox. They've got all these.
And
shows
you're already tired of The Gifted, so
they're going to have Cloak and Dagger. You know, Runaways on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense for them to be spread out, but to have like a home base, like hub.
Amy, so you hear that they're not going to do any new Netflix shows. Is that reassuring to you? Because that's just less you have to catch up on right now.
No, actually, because I love Netflix, I'm actually also on mm-hmm. the Netflix news panel here at AfterBuzz. Hey,
I forgot that there was a what day and time is that?
Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right.
So I am obsessed with Netflix. So part of me is a little bit heartbroken because I would like everything to just be there,
be in one place.
Yes, easy consumption. But I understand. I get it. It's whatever. I will make do.
And a Netflix news show is very important because if you've mm-hmm. ever, you know, stayed on the menu screen on Netflix, like 30 shows you've never heard of cycle yes. through there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is 1922 or 1822? 1922. I'm like, I still don't know. It was good? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that answers that question.
Or you just go into the void of searching. That yeah. You're just like,
See, I think it's beautiful. It's like swimming into the ocean and you just never know what you're going to find.
But much like with the ocean,
you spend more time looking and deciding than you do watching sometimes.
That's why you watch our show.
But there we go. Yeah, if you don't watch your show, it could mm-hmm. be like the ocean that you could just drown surrounded by
all
these shows.
That's really terrifying. This is true. Yeah.
I mean, that sitcom with Kathy Bates where they run the marijuana dispensary, I'm like, well, that's back.
That's the worst show
Disjointed.
It's the worst show you've ever seen.
It's so bad.
But you gave it a try.
It makes like The Gifted deserves like an Emmy compared to that show.
What are you saying about that, Anthony? Your vocals are a little lost in the mix, as we say.
There we go. Business. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You guys just mentioned Disjointed.
We did. Yeah.
Oh God, that's a terrible pile of trash.
Oh, okay. I thought I was hoping that you loved the show.
I can't believe
it. I know some people who like it. So
it's Chuck Lorre behind it. So it's like the people who made The Big Bang Theory. It's like, come on, get out. Like, no, I'm not. Oh. Not down. And who are trying to tackle on like marijuana and just not for me.
Gotcha.
Not for you. So I guess, Amy, it makes sense that you're upset that it's not all going to be in the same place, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, well, if it ends up on a Disney streaming service, I don't know. You know what? I've got two kids. I'm going to have to get the Disney streaming service no matter what. So it's going to be fine for me. I mean, other people will have to make some harder decisions.
I'm thinking about canceling Hulu.
Well, now The Runaways is over. Because The Runaways was still on.
We talked about this. Like, what was I going to do?
Yeah.
Did you watch Handmaid's Tale already?
Yeah.
But season 2 is about to start.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's coming out
in like April or whatever you said.
Yeah. February, March, April.
February, April. Yeah.
I'm going to keep
very soon.
There was rumors that the Disney streaming service would be cheaper than Netflix's original starting price.
$6.99 or something. Yeah. So, you know.
Still, but it's one of those, once you have like a few of them, that adds up.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is that people are like, well, you know, I don't have cable, I cut the cord. And it's like, yeah, but you have like 9 streaming services, so you end up spending more than you ever did.
Or you share them.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know if that's legal.
It might be. Yeah.
No.
I just come to AfterBuzz to watch all of my shows.
That's true. That's beautiful. Quick little thing. Yes. Handmaid's Tale, April 25th.
Thank you. Mm.
So I said April.
Yeah, I was just that excited, though. I was like, I'm ready. I want it now.
That means I've got to pay for another month.
Well, why don't you shut it down for like 3 months?
Shut it for February and March and pick it up in April.
All right. So moving on to a show that is on Netflix and will be on Netflix for at least the foreseeable future, Daredevil Season 3. This was mentioned in the chat. Joanne Whaley for Season 3. Now, it's noteworthy, and you know, we don't hit every casting announcement that comes along in terms here, but it's revealing that she has been cast to play Sister Maggie because they are doing the Born Again storyline, which drives me crazy because it's only season 3, and you know, that was like a good like 20 plus years into Daredevil where they're like, all right, let's finally just blow it all up and see how it goes.
Well, they can't stay the same age forever.
Well, they can't, and they probably don't know how many seasons they get overall.
That's true.
They don't. It's not like they're gonna get 227 seasons. You know,
you don't think it's gonna be like Law and Order?
No, or SVU, where they're still going.
Supernatural.
Yeah, that's true. Those are all good examples. Yeah, I feel like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 seasons is the most we'll get. Daredevil. But it's exciting because that's a famous Frank Miller storyline for those that don't know. It started in Daredevil number 227. But you're going to look for, you know, some kind of electronic trade paperback collection of that story if you want to read it. And it is dark. And it is Karen Page, unlike you've ever seen her before. Right. And then also, like, never seen her again. The interesting thing is when the story ended, it almost kind of went right back to normal as if it never happened, which was a little disappointing. But it's, so, I don't know, I'm excited. Michael, are you familiar with that specific storyline where Karen Page ruins Matt Murdock's life, basically?
She's super into the Punisher right now, so I could see them, like, kind of...
Well, I mean, look, it's a comic book from 33 years ago, so I don't feel it's a spoiler. You know, it was because she was really into heroin, and she really knew she could get more heroin if she gave up Daredevil's secret identity to the Kingpin, a.k.a. Wilson Fisk. And that's, like, page two, so I feel really like I'm all right talking about it.
I don't really see that happening.
No, I don't.
On Netflix.
Because I actually thought they that when it, she yeah. was on, when I, they announced that she was going to be on the Punisher series, I'm like, great, she's going to get addicted to heroin somehow. You know, it hasn't happened. Or has it, and we just haven't seen it. But
I don't know. I think just their way of driving a wedge, kind of, maybe Frank Castle will be kind of like the initiative for that. And I think they'll probably disagree on a lot of things.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
But I am excited to see Mama, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see his mom and how that all plays out, because she's pretty tough,
like, yeah,
for a nun.
I mean, look, I didn't go to Catholic school, but I think people who did would tell you that tough for a nun, you're just tough is sufficient.
Strict is what I'm.
Yeah, but yeah,
that
so
ruler.
So yes. that'll be you know, I'm gonna assume sometime this year. Look, we know we got Jessica Jones in March. All right, so it's after that, but we don't know. So, you know, they'll just keep us guessing as to when all this stuff happens.
Yeah.
And there were also some comments in the chat about some showrunner changes, which I believe this is not the first change in the Marvel Netflix universe. And Sky Patterson says that Moon Knight will come to the Marvel Universe in, like, 2025, maybe. I don't know. So that's not entirely helpful. But you're right. It's not soon. And that's the key there. So I don't know. It's exciting to have it essentially confirmed that they are going to tell this great
story. I'm more excited
story.
About Typhoid Mary. I think yes. that's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And, you know, look, for people that just watched the Daredevil TV show and the awesome movie with Ben Affleck. What? Why did you make that face at me, Michael? And, you know, it's fine. You're just in store for a great story. But for those of us who know some of these stories, it's exciting, you know. It's like the fact that the X-Men movie later this year is a do-over on the Dark Phoenix saga, which might be the greatest comic book story ever told. And Brett Ratner made it boring in The Last Stand.
You have a lot of faith in this movie coming
out? Well, it's not directed by Bryan Singer, so that helps because there won't be, you know, all the cloud of... Yeah, allegations, let's just say. Proven true allegations. But anyway, I don't know. I think it's cool to get to see these stories. And let me start with Amy. When you hear, like, oh, okay, there's going to be a Daredevil story that's based on a very famous comic book collection, would you want to read that before the show, after the show, or just not at all? There's no wrong answers. I'm wondering what your preference would be. Because, by the way, for my wife, it would be, no, I don't need to read it. I watch the show.
Here's the thing. Ideally, I would like to read it after because, like I said, I was brought into the Marvel Universe through film and then TV. So comics for me aren't like, ooh, I need to read that first.
Right.
Would I get to the comics? I don't know. But I would like to read it after because I'm so into these characters played by these people already.
What about you, Carrie? Do you get interested, you know, when you hear, like, oh, this was based on this storyline? Let's just assume time permitting. Let's, like, assume your schedule allows
beforehand. Like,
you'd like to read it before.
Yeah, the new movie, the Ready Player One, when I heard that was coming out, I went and did the book on audio tape. And was like, all right, I read it. And I'm ready to probably listen to it again because listening on audio tape, you miss stuff. Yeah, so I'm like, I read it, quote unquote. I drive a lot, so books on audio tape are amazing.
That's the best.
But then it's good because you can listen again because, let's be honest, you're not 100% listening because you're driving. But
oh, no, I'm a terrible driver. I listen 100%. I know everything that's going on in my audiobooks.
But it's one of those, I do like reading it first. I haven't done as much with comic books, but I've definitely done books before the movie.
See, well, because then I'm thinking, do you like when you're reading a comic book to be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened? Because for me, that happens more when I'm watching TV. Like with, for example, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or just other things where I don't know what's going to happen, so I react as it's... So it's just, it's up to you, you know, like, do you prefer to be shocked when you're reading?
Will you be shocked watching or reading?
It just depends on the preference. You like. Do you want to be shocked reading or shocked watching it on TV or movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference?
Well, reading, because you can go through faster.
That's true.
You could just be like, oh my goodness, and go, go, go.
And that is kind of the good thing when you're reading, say, you know, comic books from 35 years ago. You're like, well, I'm going to be able to just read an infinite number of them. Whereas if I'm watching a TV show, it's and then that's, 13 most.
Yeah. You know? And then otherwise, is the show still airing and you're like, oh, do I have to wait a week?
Well, speaking of two things, Amy mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And also speaking of you're still airing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I tease, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has announced will take a hiatus during most of February after the February 2nd episode. And I have to say, I'm so relieved. It gives me a little bit more time to catch up. I'm getting through. Michael texted me over the weekend, wanted to know if I'd seen Daredevil yet. And no, I have not.
No, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm speaking so fast.
Yeah.
And I was also distracted
by... You're just trying to get through this.
I was distracted by this image of the Inhumans, actually. But yes, had I seen Ghost Rider yet?
Yes.
And I saw the original Ghost Rider storyline.
Yeah.
It's quite some time ago. And I haven't caught up yet. This Ada storyline makes me want to kill myself, plug myself into the framework, a framework where I don't have to watch that storyline again on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, I'm not going to back down. So,
I will kind of agree that Ada storyline goes on way too long. So when you get there, I wish I was ahead of time. It pays off, though, in the current season a character.
Okay.
Like, there's something where you're like, oh, they could only... Yeah, anyway.
Look, I'm just...
But the Ada bit, I'm like, okay, if this is 100%, we could do it at, like, 40% of how much
I'm jealous of the Russian guy whose head's in a jar, because I'm like, yeah, that could be me, instead of sitting here just watching this. But anyway, it'll be back on March 2nd, which means March 9th will be the 100th episode, which, when that airs... Amy will get to give us some inside scoop.
Yeah, I have an interview.
That's right.
Just in my
But you're like waiting. Pocket. You can't do anything with it yet.
I can't until that day. And I'm currently on episode 20 of season 1.
And
I'm going to catch up.
You're going to catch up to me?
She's going to surpass you.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
I'm
so invested.
On your mind,
I hope you do.
I am so invested at this point.
I watched 4 in the last week. You know, I mean, that's a lot for me. You know,
I'm actually
that's
I'm
like
very
4
proud.
In a day.
I have 2 children. I mean, you know.
That's right. 6 in a day, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look. He only did 6.
I just have a cat, so
I
get
watched
it.
What caught up on Hulu, so I watched the last 3
like,
of the newest ones.
Pick up your kid, and you're like, don't hurt me.
I have watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. while my daughter is either eating or sleeping
you know,
in my arms. But So that's exciting. That'll be back. And I'll be caught up by March 2nd. You'll
Yay.
See, Michael. You'll
you
see.
You have our word.
Yeah. And Amy will catch up first. we'll skip that story. We don't have a lot of time. Actor Stephen Lang says he wants to play Nick Fury,
yes.
But the Howling Commandos version of Nick Fury. And I'm completely on board for that.
Yes.
For people who don't know the actor Stephen Lang, if you do know him. You just the name
he's
doesn't
incredible.
Necessarily. Yeah, I mean, among other things, he's an Avatar. He's probably like, dude, why are you mentioning Avatar? I'm in like a million better movies. But he is an Avatar. And so he would be great as the World War II Howling Commandos Nick Fury. I don't know how you sort of rectify that, you know, when he gets older, he turns into Sam Jackson, but that's not my problem. I think that would work.
Cottonmouth's father on Salem, and he's really good on that, too.
See, Cottonmouth just threw me off because I thought you were talking about
I know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
So I did
Cotton.
Not know.
Well, sorry, it's just his name's just Cotton.
Oh, okay.
I'm combining
Luke
the two.
Cage.
Yeah. No, it's just his name's Cotton.
Cotton Mather.
There we go. Thank you. See, it was M something.
But I would say that I think that that would lend itself to, that would be an interesting, whether it's a TV series or miniseries, yeah. Nick Fury and his Howling Commandos.
Sure.
And, you know, we've seen the Howling Commandos in Captain America the First Avenger and briefly on Agent Carter. I know we've seen them a couple of times on the small screen and the big screen, but it would be great, I think, to get that opportunity. I'll start with you, Michael, because of your reaction. Are you excited this idea, Stephen Lang?
Yes.
Nick
get
Fury.
Samuel L. Jackson out of there, back into his commercials, like whatever. Oh. Like, yeah, I don't know how you're going to explain.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's not feel bad for Sam, because what's in his wallet? A lot of effing money. Okay, so he's fine.
Him and Jennifer Garner, like, the whole Elektra thing, you know, they've got like they're going for like the old. But no, I love him. I think he looks like a Nick Fury. Yeah. I think he. Will
you mean
act
even
like
more than David Fury. Hasselhoff?
He kind of looked like Nick Fury, but like goofy '90s, but.
Carrie, you hear this idea. Like, this is really just an idea. It's something that he's interested in doing.
Yeah, he's fishing.
But he's definitely fishing for it. But it would be set in World War II. You know, probably. Probably no Captain America. Okay, let's be honest. There's no Captain America. He won't be in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would sort of, it would still be kind of that
Maybe
story.
Agent Carter would be in it.
I would love that. I love Agent Carter.
Wasn't he also a possibility before as rumors for Cable? I think he was in the discussion. Like,
I believe
and then
he
I was like,
was,
yeah,
so.
He could totally work.
He could be.
Not he's big enough.
No, but like his face and like his persona, I was like, yeah, no, totally. No, body type, no, he's not Cable. But I like the idea of him for Nick Fury. I'm like, sure, but I do agree that I'm like, yeah, that doesn't quite line up with the Samuel L. Jackson one. But you know what? We've had that with shows and the Marvel shows and movies that it's like, no, they kind of line up, but not really, so that's okay. You know,
right. Now, Amy, for somebody that, as you've said, you came at the Marvel Universe through movies and television, is the idea of this old white guy playing playing Nick Fury, does it throw you off? And it's just like, no, it's supposed to be Sam Jackson. Okay, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that that's actually something they would take into consideration, is that people identify
that
Sam Jackson.
That is so weird.
Well, if they came at it just from the movies first,
totally makes sense.
And what they should let, also what they should let, what they should let Stephen Lang do is first do a remake of Snakes on a Plane. So then you'll be used to him. What? It's the greatest movie of our lifetimes. I don't know why you guys
are
so excited.
Why we
got to
remake it? Because it's good. Don't need to remake it.
No, all Leave right, alone. Look, I can't
maybe,
argue with you. Can't argue with sound logic.
Snakes. It could be something else. On
Gorillas?
A bus.
Oh.
Just you know. All right, you know, people have that.
Look,
in their
this
mind.
Is Hollywood. People
birds
are listening.
Birds on a bus.
Birds on a bus.
There you go.
See,
it's Speed meets the Birds.
We just pitched the perfect movie.
Yes.
So, and I guess we have to get a group screenwriting credit on that. But that's
go.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I named it. No, I'm just kidding. She named it.
I did the pitch line.
There we go.
Well, moving on to movies now. We have our first on-set look at Captain Marvel. And there's some reaction to it, namely the fact that
she's green.
That it's green and it's not red. Now, the interesting thing is this character is being called Captain Marvel, but as we talked about before, it's basically, it is Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers. The typical Captain Marvel uniform.
Doesn't she have shorter hair too?
I think it varies.
It varies. Like,
well, I was reading an article that because this movie is set in the '90s, they basically gave her the Rachel, the Jennifer Aniston haircut from Friends.
That's not what it looks like to me.
I like the Mohawk-y version. The one where it's a little more like a mohawk.
Well, I mean,
that one looks cool.
You know, nobody rocks a mohawk better than Storm, but yes,
that's true.
I can concede to that. So, what I thought that I would point out though is because this character is Ms. Marvel, Anthony, we'll cycle through some of the other appearances that she could have if they wanted her to look like Ms. Marvel. There she is from Ms. Marvel number one. So that's a look that they could
Super
go with.
Super practical outfit.
And, by the way, they did cover up her stomach shortly thereafter. But I love the idea that they named the character Ms. Marvel. It was the 70s. It was sort of like, kind of like an empowering name. And then they gave her the skimpiest outfit in the history of the Marvel Universe. And look at that. Look at that image. Special guest stars. J. Jonah Jameson, Mary Jane Watson, and Peter Parker, not Spider-Man, all in the same issue. Mm-hmm. But That's what she could look like, or you could go with her look from the Avengers, the second image, which you see here from Avengers 200.
I actually like this outfit.
Tell me, Michael, am I crazy?
When she dies, that's her like death.
Well, she doesn't really die. Rogue steals her powers.
She's in like a coma for like ever.
Yeah, Rogue steals her powers because Rogue's a bad guy in Avengers Annual number 10. Steals her powers and some of her personality. You know what the best part of it is? The red sash. That's what really brings it together.
How it always stays cocked right at the side.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is a complete tangent, but if you read the Avengers from like this time period, there'll be issues where you could tell that the writing staff forgot she was on the team because she's there, but she doesn't speak for the whole issue. So they forgot that she was a member of the Avengers.
This version's also a very popular cosplay version of her.
I've seen that live
more than any other versions of her.
And then we can go with my favorite look for Carol Danvers, which is Binary, which is...
Okay. I had never seen that one.
You've never seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh,
so she's on fire?
It's basically when she's using her power, it's like, flame energy out of her head. And, as you can see, Michael, it's Uncanny X-Men number 164. And that's... Okay. Part of the golden era of the X-Men, but, you know, there's no reason you should read that, because you'd catch up, and then you'd read about Fenris, and then you'd be like, oh, my God, why is he still talking about them? So, anyway, these are all things that we could have gotten, but, so don't be so upset about the green Captain Marvel.
I think that's just going to be for, like, a thing in the movie. Yes. Like, yes. A scroll, like,
yeah. Thing, or also, green. Couldn't it be, like, green screen effect?
It could be
in some way on there. No.
Well, it could also be like how Daredevil went through. He had another outfit before he got his main one. So it could be like, here's my first version, and then I don't like it because you get the hero pose and the new outfit.
And Iron Fist still doesn't wear the mask or the slippers. So it could be evolving. Yeah, exactly. And then we touched on this before, but I sort of wanted to quickly poll everybody what they think. The idea that we're going to get this Black Widow movie, ladies first. Amy, are you excited at this idea?
I'm so excited.
I'm mostly surprised that we just haven't gotten it so far, because they had already cast a movie star to play her. And so you were like, well, you only do that if you're going to make a movie of her.
Yeah. You know? And I think she can totally rock it. So I'm really excited, especially because of Captain America, Winter Soldier, where she, it was really mostly just them too.
Yeah.
And I think she could carry a movie by herself. If she has, someone else along for the ride, that's fine. But I think
some of her friends will probably visit.
Yeah, just be like, hey. But
maybe Samuel Jackson.
Or Stephen Lang. Who knows?
Yeah.
Carrie, your thoughts on finally getting the Black Widow movie?
Yeah, I would love to see it. I don't know if they would go the route of an origin story, but that'd be kind of cool with her. But then it's like, well, why didn't we do this already?
I feel like it'll be like a secret mission.
That'd be
like,
kind of fun.
No one else, like off the books.
Exactly.
But could be a flashback. More info. Yeah.
More about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a lot of, like, they allude to things, and there's even things about Black Widow's backstory that we saw in Agent Carter, even though it was set in the 40s. So, I agree. I'm excited. Michael,
we'll get, like, a high and tight haircut, too.
Oh, yeah.
I want her to stay a redhead. I'm not liking the blonde hair in the new trailer.
That's not like a permanent thing. She's always a redhead.
I know.
But she's a spy. She's got to do whatever.
Yeah.
In any case,
you don't care about her hair?
Not really, no.
She's about what she does.
I mean, in the comics, she has long red hair. So
I feel like that's given all the stuff she does, that long hair is could be hazardous.
Yeah.
When she had the long first curly hair, I'm like, no. But the bob, I was like, okay, I can deal with the bob.
Right. No, and it's down the road, but I think we're right to be excited. It's interesting that, we really haven't had the female-driven Marvel movie yet. We're going to get Captain Marvel, but it's really Wonder Woman had to happen for them to go like, oh, okay, I guess we can make one. Sure. Why not? But, there she is there, and I don't know what's going on with the hair there, but there it is.
Yep.
The Infinity War. We'll just talk about next week. I'm sure that there's going to be an amazing trailer during the Super Bowl. But, you know, if you don't watch the Super Bowl, it'll be online seconds later, yes. So don't worry about it. All right, well, we're going to have to move on to our final story, which leads right into Character Corner. And the reason why I picked who I picked is not just because I have always been a fan of Kitty Pryde, but it's been announced that Kitty Pryde and Colossus are going to get married later this year in X-Men Gold number 30. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Kitty Pryde and Colossus actually dated when she was first around in the comics. The only problem was that Jim Shooter, the editor-in-chief, pointed out, okay, she's 13 and a half, and he's 18 or 19. So that's really not cool. So you're going to have to go ahead and break them up. And Kitty was heartbroken that this kind of decision was made. And, you know, who am I to stand in the way of love? But look how happy they are for those watching on YouTube. And I couldn't be happier for them.
So about how old is she now that she's getting...
She's like in her early 20s now. So
I don't even know how you gauge 20s? Things like that with like comic books.
What's that? Well, yeah. So the character first showed up 40 years ago. So right, technically yeah, she's like 52.
Yeah.
But oh. Yeah, but okay. In comic book time, she got like 15, 16 really fast. And then I think... And then, you know, they do a whole thing where they make her extra old so she could date somebody. It's
extra old.
Yeah, like so she could date Peter Wisdom. This is like Excalibur era, which Michael and I might do a whole show on Excalibur. But anyway, so I wanted to talk about sort of this underappreciated but yet essential member of the X-Men. And we see her here on YouTube, sort of the progression. When she first joins the team, I don't know what the skull cap is all about.
I like that look.
I mean, it's the classic look. It's the New Mutants look. And she was Sprite was her code name. It did not last for very long.
No.
There's a funny comment she made that she got tired of people asking about pulling her tab. It's a double soda entendre. But then the next look, Ariel, it's okay. The green look. But she had her trusty dragon Lockheed at that point. And
that green look didn't last very long.
No. Then she kind of just didn't have a costume for a while. And then they went around with the Shadow Cat look, which that's very 80s, but that's in the sweet spot. That's what I remember. She had that in the X-Men and in Excalibur. And then they kind of went the Jean Grey route where she just became Kitty Pryde.
Look at those shoulder pads.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, come on. I mean, she was only like 15 at that point. Oh, you're talking about the one over there. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Those are serious shoulder pads.
Yes.
And at this point, like now I don't even know who she looks like. She doesn't even really look like her. But, you know, just sort of this, you know, she's at the center of so many key moments in the X-Men history. And she really got short shrift in the movies. Some people, I won't name any names,
do not like
Ellen Page's portrayal of her.
Okay.
If you read the comics of Days of Future Past, she's the main character in the story. And in the movie, they're like, nope, Wolverine, because he's Wolverine. And look, I get it. It's a movie.
Yeah.
But I was a little disappointed. So I'm very happy for Kitty. And, you know,
and
she's been through a lot. And, you know, but anybody who has a pet dragon, I don't know, Michael, it's okay with me.
I love Lockheed. He's my favorite non-X-Man. Like non-mutant.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to jump right to the Stepford Cuckoos, and we'll give you a few minutes.
You don't want
to
do Kitty?
I did. I mean, I said
enough. Is that it? That's
well,
it? Okay.
I did an overview because I wanted to, because I didn't want to bump the Stepford Cuckoos again. So I just sort of showed some images of Kitty, and I was like, yeah, go ahead and read some stories with her, you know, and you'll find out more about Kitty Pryde.
I like that they're blonde and it's Stepford, because it just makes me think Stepford Wives.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Well, we're talking about Esme from The Gifted. She actually was introduced in 2001, so she's been around for a while, and she first came in New X-Men Volume 1, number 118. It's got Cyclops on the cover. But there are all kinds of fun things about their name, like the Stepford Wives and the Midwich Cuckoos, which is like a book written a long time ago about all these kids that were like born looking the same.
Hmm.
But in like a town. And something that like is really, really kind of off. Their names, Celeste, Esme, Irma, Phoebe, and Sophie all spell out Spice, so they were. It was,
oh, nice!
It was kind of like an homage to the Spice Girls.
I like that.
But the next writer didn't pick up on that and renamed one of them, so it kind of like lost that effect. But we see them in The Gifted as just three of
right.
them.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. You know, you don't need yeah. that many. Yeah, more yeah.
There were,
show.
But there were five main sisters, and eventually, one of the first ones killed off is Esme, which is the kind of like their leader in the Gifted. I don't know if the other two sisters just start to rap. Well, they did mention that they died, didn't they, in the very yeah. first episode? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you go on to find out that they're actually like a science experiment. They've been like taken like eggs from Emma Frost, the White
right.
Queen.
And it's established on The Gifted, their last name is Frost. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. In the comic books, their last name, they go by Cuckoo, and they do make kind of like a reference to that, that they were, when they were arrested, they said their last name was Cuckoo or whatever. But they're actually the children of Emma Frost. They're so they pretty much have the same power as her, but they're better than her. Like, they are more powerful, and they're thousands and thousands of them. They,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's too many.
They come to find out that they were, that's like, crazy. Grown in this place. And I think we actually pulled a picture of them all in, like, this chamber where there's, like, thousands of them. But it's pretty crazy. There's so much about them. I'm trying to, like,
that's all right. It's good to just get the overview.
But they are, as... Yeah, yeah, they're all... Well... There's some more pictures that illustrate that a little better, but it's pretty crazy. They're like, wow. They look like they're in this huge, like, I don't know. It's kind of like an alien world, and they're like all in little test tubes or whatever. And you find out later that the Phoenix Force actually targets these girls because they are so powerful, and they become Phoenix for a while. Doesn't agree with all of them. And you find out later in the comics that they do have, like, kind of separate minds, and they do have, like, different opinions, but they can work together and usually think the same. But they eventually, like, split up, become on different teams. Esme goes to Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which they're totally pushing in The Gifted because she's kind of, like, the right. naughty one. But the rest of the girls are pretty much good, I'd say. Yeah, that's that picture I was talking about. Like, you can see, like,
oh,
thousands.
Oh, that you sent in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thousands, like, thousands of them. It's pretty well illustrated. Whatever. You're just pulling my leg. Or pulling my tab.
Exactly. As Kitty would say. Well, I think that it'll be interesting to see how it shapes out on The Gifted.
I hope we're gonna see thousands of them.
I mean, we could, but you might need a bigger budget.
We talked about that.
We
yeah.
did. Now, before we run out of time, Amy, we bumped your conversation about Patsy, Trish, Hellcat last week. So
yes.
I wanted to give you just a moment or two to talk a little bit about her. And this is, of course, Jessica Jones' best friend, host of Trish Talk. But she, well, I'll let you do the rest.
Yeah, okay. So in the show, she is played by Rachel Taylor. She is Trish Walker. But it's interesting because she is Patsy Walker when she's younger.
Right.
She plays Patsy Walker. So Patsy Walker is technically Hellcat. So she's a fictional superhero, and she first appeared back in Miss America magazine number 2 in 1944. But
so
at that point,
Marvel Comics, by the way, is worth Marvel pointing Comics. Out. Yeah.
And at that point, she was Patsy Walker. So then they decided to bring her back, and at that point, she was Hellcat. And then that was The Avengers in 1976. The Avengers number 144 in 1976. Yeah, so that's Patsy. And then they bring her back as Hellcat. So it's interesting because right now in Jessica Jones, we do not know that she is going to be Hellcat.
Right.
So, like, right now, she's just
and the,
Trish.
The potential that we could have this is great because the whole idea is that Jessica doesn't want to wear a costume or anything. So if Trish ends up doing it, and I, you know, the way that they have Patsy figure into the show is the TV show she was on when she was a kid. And as I said, I think last week, my favorite thing is that Kilgrave only ever referred to her as Patsy, never once called her Trish. It was like, just shut up, Patsy, you know. Well, so I thought, I don't know. I like his fixation with Patsy.
And see, and in the show, she's taken up, is it Krav Maga?
Yeah. So that she's getting ready.
Yeah.
That's a nice little like, oh, look. Yeah.
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 Do
you guys remember that, the claws that Rosario Dawson's training with?
Yeah.
I feel like somehow those are going to end up going over to her.
She'll loan them to Patsy. Yeah. Be like, you know, you could use these.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not a Jessica Jones season 2 thing, but maybe it is. You know,
I
but
hope so.
Yeah. Michael just wants
everything.
Maybe the end.
Yeah.
Maybe the end.
Yeah, that's true. That could be kind of cool, like the last
bit of
the season.
That'd be the lead into the season.
And did you have something else you were going to say about Patsy before we let Carrie take us on home with her character?
I mean, just something to add. Her abilities include, so she's a well-trained martial artist and gymnast, which we've kind of seen.
Who isn't, you know, on this panel, you know, obviously. I mean, yeah.
She has psychic senses. She has a force field generation.
Sweet.
Wrist-mounted retractable claws and grappling hooks.
Cool.
So, who knows?
I don't think we'll see any mutant powers.
No, but I think that, you know, all the gadgets and things, you know.
She'll be like Batman.
Yeah.
Way cooler.
By Batman, you mean Iron Man. Yeah.
Iron Man, too.
She's going to be all Stark Industries. She's going to have all the great stuff. If Spider-Man suit can come from Stark, you know, all of Patsy's stuff. I think how fun would that be, if we get to see Jessica and Trish?
No, we're not going to get like a cool yellow suit though.
We never get cool yellow suits.
We don't know what we're going to get.
No, it's always black.
Yeah. Maybe she'll wear a yellow dress at some point. That'll be the nod to it.
Sure. Right? How like Purple Man wore a purple suit.
Yeah,
and they're like, that's enough.
Yeah.
All right, Carrie.
All right, I'll keep mine really short because we're at the end, and this is more of a minor character. So on the Gifted. I don't know if you guys remember, like, he didn't really have a name, but he was a gentleman who was very, very dark-skinned, and he had the crackle on his face. I kind of looked him up, because I was like, that was a character that you saw a lot, but I was like, I need to know more. And so here's a little bit about him. So he's a mutant created by DC Comics Chief Creative Officer Jeff Johns in the 4 months that he worked for Marvel back in 2002. So his name is Shatter. And he's a mutant who discovered, so this is a little, like, dark way to find your power. He discovered his power of indestructibility when he attempted suicide. The gunshot only left one break on the side of his head, so that's why he had that. But visually, he's a really striking character in The Gifted that's just like, who is this guy? So he was doing the, like, breaking stuff when they were trying to exit the bottom of the...
When they were getting... There we go.
So I thought that was really interesting and kind of cool to know a little bit more about him, because in the show, it was just like... Who was this person? We didn't get anything. So that was it. Nice, short, and sweet.
Absolutely. And Zias or Zias B. Lou points out that Hellcat was on the Spider-Man animated series. So if you want to see some of that. And then he also points out, not necessarily popular in all circles, but She-Hulk is actually a character that I like a lot, and she is Bruce Banner's cousin. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we haven't seen her yet, but
I do.
Because you don't like her?
She's kind of like random.
Okay, but she's better than Ms. Marvel.
You can't have the Hulk look like that and have her look like a...
She's just a like green babe.
That's true.
Like she's Miss just America. Like
a female pro wrestler. Like she's beautiful, it's really and weird. Muscled. Yeah.
That's the 70s for you.
And ZSB Lou says that that for Kitty Pryde in the movies, he would cast Nina Dobrev from Vampire Diaries or Victoria Justice. Just depends on what age they want the character to be.
As who?
As Kitty Pryde. Do they want her to be younger, which they could, or I guess we'll see. But the reason why they're mentioning that is because the thing I left off, because I was just gushing, was that there is actually a movie in development for a Kitty Pryde standalone film. Apparently not starring Ellen Page, Michael.
I don't see that happening.
Well, you know, I didn't see there being 3 Thor movies before they announced.
You know, me either.
You know, because I was just like, before I sat down and watched the Thor movie, I'm like, all right, look, there's going to be a point where they were gonna have a stinker, and but I don't know. Ragnarok was one of the best ones in recent years, so you know, they can surprise us.
Yeah. I think Kitty Pryde needs to look Jewish.
Yes,
she never
well,
looks
she,
Jewish, and it's like there's no feud.
Is that
I mean,
a big part
I'm
of
not,
her identity?
I mean, it yeah. is when she's introduced, okay. she's wearing a Star David.
She's one of the okay. few, yeah. like that's her thing. Like, she's a Jewish character. I mean, I'm not Jewish, cool. but I just think, like, if you're going to throw that in there, have fun with it.
Well, this kind of ties back to Nick Fury thing of, like, you know, if a character is their identity, how important is that to that character? Mm-hmm. That it's like, can we swap their ethnicity yeah. and their heritage? But if it's part of her character, then yeah, we should totally have it.
Betsy
there.
Braddock. That's another one they really
don't get me started.
Screwed
Why
over.
Did you mention that? You know that drives me crazy. The Captain Britain's sister is Asian. Anyway, we're out of time. We can continue this conversation next week. But thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat. And thanks to our panel. Amy, where can people find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassander, MTZ. I hope you guys have been having a marvelous Monday.
Michael?
You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram, and Thursday nights on Project Runway After Show, Project Runway All Stars.
Carrie.
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And I'm at Christian DMZ. And tomorrow night, I'll be anchoring the Trump Report's coverage of the State of the Union address. That's a lot different a conversation than we just had. So check that out on AfterBuzz, 7:30, 8 o'clock Pacific time. But we will see you next week. So until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.